Welcome to Florida Matters More, the podcast for Florida Matters, WUSF Public Media's show about the issues and events that Floridians care about. I'm Robin Sessingham, host of Florida Matters. You can hear Florida Matters Tuesday evenings at 6:30 and Sunday mornings at 7:30 on WUSF 89.7 or streaming on WUSFnews.org. This week on Florida Matters, a conversation with the candidates for Florida's Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Services. This is a powerful position in the state. It's a cabinet-level post. Besides overseeing the important industry of agriculture in Florida, the commissioner oversees gun permits, inspects gas pumps, handles consumer complaints, and a lot more. The candidate spoke with WLRN Public Media in Miami and the editorial page editors of the Miami Herald, the South Florida Sun Sentinel, and the Palm Beach Post. Nancy Ancrum, editorial page editor of the Miami Herald, starts us off. We hear first from Homestead Mayor Jeff Porter, then Roy David Walker, president of the South Florida Audubon Society, and Nikki Freed, a Fort Lauderdale lobbyist. These are all Democratic candidates for Ag Commissioner.
You would be a member of the governor's cabinet. You would also make up the clemency board. Though Amendment 4 might make this issue moot for you, but can you tell us your stance on the restoration of felons' rights, Mr. Porter?
I certainly agree with rights restorations, because I mean, obviously, anybody can make a mistake, and if you pay your debt, you should be given your rights back, and
automatically.
Yeah. I mean, there's no if you've sentenced to a year, it's not a sentence for life. You know, so I think that certainly I hope Amendment 4 passes. But as a clemency board member, yeah, I would say you definitely want to give people their rights back and get them back into society as quick as possible.
The Amendment 4. Now, I really do hope it passes. I truly believe that when someone served their times, and then they are released, they should have the rights reinstated right then.
As a past public defender, I saw firsthand the injustice again in the criminal justice system, and I have been talking about restoration of rights for years. And the fact that the Supreme Court has said that our process is unconstitutional, and yet our cabinet continuously is following appeals and going through the process. And the fact that CFO Petronas had questioned some of the individuals in front of them a couple weeks ago and started asking them questions that have absolutely nothing to do with their restoration of rights. It's deplorable that these are elected officials asking these types of questions. We spend over $400 million a year not restoring these individuals' rights. If you've served your time, then you automatically should be restored your rights. And the fact that if a criminal justice system has said you've served your time, you have been rehabilitated, then that is the will of the justice system.
Mm-hmm. On the consumer issue, why is the do not call list so difficult to enforce, and why do we still have people scamming, reading our credit cards at gas stations? Mr. Walker.
Yes, the Do Not Call list. And well, it's a program that's regulating the consumers, not the corporations. Now, I believe that this program should be reversed and put the corporations on the list so that the department can hold them accountable. And by doing that, that means they will have to come to Florida and open up an office so that they can be held accountable. So that when it comes to the Do Not Call list. Now, fraud, of course, has been number one within the current administration. And they do get this information mainly at the gas pumps. Now, technology has advanced over the years. It used to be when you insert your credit card, it was there at the reader. So you used to always jiggle before inserting your credit card to make sure there's no attachment. However, technology has advanced, and actually they're now putting devices inside the gas pumps. Mm-hmm. So so that they transfer the data remotely. Now, to fix that problem, one way to solve that is inserting the chip on your credit card. They do that in Europe and other places. When you insert that chip, that means your card has to be there, and then they won't collect that data. Now, also with the device inside the machine. Now, one way to do that is to make sure that the pump is actually secure. And that can be as simple as putting a security label on the side of that pump, a seal, so that the consumers can know if it's been opened, it would be cracked.
Mr. Porter?
Well, I think the technology is lacking. You know, there are security efforts that there are security aspects that are being incorporated that are protecting the credit cards better than they are at the gas pump. They're still using the swipe process. You know, the do not call. They're just not enforcing. I don't know what to do. I really don't know what to do.
It's about enforcement. This is bigger than just, you know, mechanics and technology. You know, down in South Florida, there is actually a cartel that is running the scams. And so a lot of this comes into the consumers. There is an entire legal department, an investigation department inside of the Consumer Services Agency. And that's just not been used to come down and work with law enforcement and trying to break up the cartel ring that has been controlling South Florida on the fraud of the gas station pumps. So you start going after criminal activity and start kind of breaking that down at the gas station pumps. And the same thing with the do not call list. It's called enforcement. It's called, getting in there and actually prosecuting and sending those information, those individuals who are violating this, over to the Attorney General for prosecution purposes. So this is a leadership issue, and that has just not been addressed and being proactive to fix this. It is not a simple fix, but it is something that needs to be a robust program in order to take these individuals down who are committing this fraud against the consumers.
That was Nikki Fried. We also heard from Jeff Porter and Roy David Walker, the three Democrats competing for their party's nomination to run for Florida's Commissioner of Agriculture. Support for Florida Matters More comes from the National Foundation for Transplants. Right now, hundreds of Tampa residents need an organ transplant they can't afford. You can join the National Foundation for Transplants Operation Second Chance at transplants.org to learn how to help give someone a second chance at life. The panel also interviewed Republican candidates State Senator Denise Grimsley and State Representative Matt Caldwell. The other two Republicans in the race, retired Army Colonel Mike McAllister and former State Representative Baxter Troutman, were unable to come to the scheduled interview. Nancy Ankrum of the Miami Herald asked the candidates about their stance on restoring voting rights to convicted felons.
Mr. Caldwell.
Yeah, absolutely. So here is my standard. If I was in charge of this today, if you were a nonviolent first-time offender, you finished your sentence, you finished your probation, then you should go on the list for rights restoration, and on a regular basis for the however, you know, monthly or quarterly cabinet meetings, and the cabinet officials should have to proactively give a reason to pull your name off of the list.
Right now, the whole process is arbitrary, as the court did say, and takes such a long time.
Sure.
What kind of time frame would you put on what you've outlined?
I think as soon as someone finishes their probation at the next meeting, their name should be on the list for restoration and consideration by the cabinet. And I think it would become a fairly straightforward process.
Now, why should someone who, even though a violent offender or a multiple offender, who has paid his or her debt to society and jumped through all the hoops in terms of punishment, why should that person now still have to make a case?
Well, I think a multiple offender is an easy answer. You know, the theory of incarceration is not only restitution but rehabilitation. And so either we are failing to correctly rehabilitate the individual or they are failing to embrace that rehabilitation. In either case, the exercise of their full civil rights is something I think they need to explain directly to the cabinet.
Ms. Grimsley.
So let me start with the violent offenders and we'll get that off the table. I don't support any automatic restoration for them, and I think there's a process. Now, I do think that the process that we currently use is broken and there's a backlog and we have to figure that piece out. I also think that if it is a violent offense, the victim needs to be involved in that process, whatever that process winds up being. But the nonviolent offenders, you know, I think you do need criteria. I mean, I think if you have somebody who's a repetitive offender that is dealing in drugs and some other things that are potentially dangerous to the community, it needs to go through the process, and they'll go through, they'll be automatically restored unless we pull them off for some reason. But you know, the things like the white collar crimes and things, I don't have a problem at all with automatic restoration of that.
On the consumer services side of the job, what are you going to do to enforce the do not call list?
So here's what happens. There's something called the North American Numbering Plan, that if you're, that number is not on that plan, then the carriers know that that's an illegal call coming in. Mm-hmm. Usually it's using the, it's the local number, which is not on the plan, and you answer it because you think it's somebody local calling. And what I found out was that the carriers did not have the legal authority to block those calls. So I just passed a piece of legislation that went into effect July 1st that gives them the authority to block them. So I talked to AT&T last week, and I said, you know, how long is it going to take to implement this? And he said, give us about 6 months. But I can already tell you, because this Elizabeth kept calling me four times a day. She's gone. She's not calling me anymore. So she was one of those robocallers that was coming from overseas. And that was my interest of getting involved in it. But, you know, I'm here in Miami, and I'm talking to all the seniors. I mean, they get all these scam calls. So he said, give it 6 months. But in the meantime, if you're getting a call that you know is not a legitimate, you know it's an illegal call, please call your carrier and go ahead and give them that number, and they can preemptively go in and block it. But as commissioner, I think I ought to be out in all of the communities talking about those kinds of things.
That was Denise Grimsley and Matt Caldwell, two of the Republicans running for their party's nomination to be the next Agriculture Commissioner of Florida. The candidates spoke with WLRN Public Media in Miami and the editorial page editors of the Miami Herald, the South Florida Sun Sentinel, and the Palm Beach Post. Thank you for joining us, and listen to Florida Matters on the radio Tuesdays at 6:30 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 7:30 on WUSF 89.7, online at wusfnews.org. I'm Robin Sussingham. Come back next week for another episode of Florida Matters More, and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher.